It's still real to me, damn it, damn it.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Still Real Fest Show, episode number 689 for April 27, 2023. Welcome to this week's edition of SRTU. I am one half of the show. I am Jeff Peck. Joined every single week by my co-host, one only Dr. Trey Franklin. Dr. Trey, what is up, my friend?
This is my Road Warrior week. I was in Charlotte for a couple days, got home last night. Now I'm setting up for a Honda Indy Grand Prix race, and I got another like 3 15-hour days in a row. I feel like it's WrestleMania week, but in the real world. Like, I just have life happening a lot the next few days.
Do you know what day of the week it is? I mean, I guess you should, right? Because it's SRTU. But did you know actually what day of the week it was today?
Yeah, I did, because I was literally in Charlotte. I was counting down the days to get home.
Okay, fair.
I was like, I'm going to get home late Wednesday night, and then Thursday I have this, and Friday I have this. So I'm aware of the day. I literally, when you texted me, I was like, oh, crap, I forgot we weren't on vacation anymore. I got to get back into recording the show mode. So,
what are your thoughts? Where do you stand on Charlotte as a city?
It's not bad. I mean, it's a weird city in the sense of, you know, it had its boom in the 90s, went through a little bit of money trouble early 2000s. The part I was in, downtown Charlotte, was really nice. It's not a bad city. And then there's a lot of stuff to do, actually. There's amusement parks and all the little fun spots.
NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good city for entertainment and things to do. Maybe not the best bar scene or things like that, but like, if you're a family person, there's a bunch of stuff for families to get into down there. So it's a really good family town.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy Charlotte as a city. I used to travel back and forth there maybe like 5, 6, 7 years ago now, and always enjoyed the food. A lot of decent nightlife going on down there. Very not hustle and bustle like what we typically see from New York City. It was my kind of city. I enjoyed going to Charlotte and visiting it. And then I always remember, like, there's just like two streets that basically run through it all the time. Was it Tryon
and Sardis, I think, are the two main ones. I lose track because I hadn't been there in, like, you know, all the years I spent in North Carolina. I hadn't been there in like 5 or 6 years. So I was like, oh yeah, there's Tryon, there's Sardis, there's another one. But they put a toll road out on 85 now. That threw me off. So I'll be getting tolls in the mail that I have to pay here at some point in the next few months. The weird thing about Charlotte is really Charlotte and Nashville kind of boomed at the same time. And they're about the same size, but they're completely kind of opposite cities. Like Nashville's known now for its music scene, its bar life, its nightlife. But when you take the kids up there, there's not a whole lot really to do for a family, whereas Charlotte may not have the music scene, but it does have the family-friendly stuff to keep your kids entertained. But Nashville's known as more of a destination vacation town than Charlotte is.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice city, and that is your travel report with Dr. Trey Franklin and Jeff Peck on this week's edition of SRTU.
Which we did not do back in the days when I was actually traveling.
No.
It's crazy.
Well, because rarely did you go to a city. Like, I'm not as much of a worldly traveler as you are. Like, you went to a city, Charlotte, that which has a lot of wrestling history, yeah. To tie it all back to the reason for this podcast. You would be everywhere around the world, and there were very few times that you and I could like relate, unless you like visited in the Northeast, where I've stamped my traveling the most would be in the Northeast of the United States. So this is rare.
Yeah. Now I will say, in Charlotte, I met the guys who run the Northeastern part of my company up there. So it was kind of nice to sit down and talk to guys from like the New England area, the Jersey guys, the Philly guys. And I'm like, yeah, it's been a long time since I've been to the Northeast, but there was this old joke of my company that if they booked me anywhere between Baltimore and Boston, I was going to be pissed. Like, I don't like that 95 corridor up there. I'm like, north side of Boston going up to Maine, fantastic. Like, you know, D.C., back down to Florida, I'm good there. But that Philly, Jersey, New York, Connecticut part of 95, the traffic was atrocious. So I just tried to avoid it. Those guys are like, yeah, we do too.
Yeah, Charlotte. More in Dr. Trey's travel blog as well. Traveling with Dr. Trey .wordpress.com.
There you go.
Dr. Trey, let's get into the world of professional wrestling. Obviously, Charlotte is such a big town for professional wrestling, but there is a lot going on since we last talked. We've been having a different type of shows these last several weeks coming out of WrestleMania weekend, everything that went on there. And since then, Dr. Trey, there is a huge amount of news swirling around in regards to one CM Punk. Let's start with the AEW end of things. So CM Punk reportedly is returning to All Elite Wrestling on the debut episode of AEW's new Saturday show on June the 17th at the United Center in Chicago. It's believed the new show will be called AEW Collision. Warner Brothers Discovery was reportedly told that Punk was returning as well, and a potential roster split may happen between the Saturday show and Dynamite. Lots to unpack here first, Dr. Trey. Let's start with the CM Punk stuff. It looks like he's on his way back to All Elite Wrestling.
I don't know if I'm totally surprised about that. I think we talked about this, you know, back when we had the brawl. And my thing was always kind of like, if there's a way for guys to make money off something like this, the smart guys will try to figure out a way to make money. And Punk is definitely one of the smarter guys when it comes to doing business, the old wrestling term. You know, and even, you know, Tony Khan, for as much crap as we give him at times, you know, he's also a businessman at heart. And the fact that they can look at something like this and go, hey, we could split the roster, which makes a ton of sense, and have one show dedicated to Dynamite, one for Collision, and then Rampage be like the middle show, like a combined show or something, if that's the route they take, it makes a ton of sense. And they can do that. Guys get more TV time. Guys get a chance to actually get their characters out there. It makes sense. So I'm not and you need to have an anchor and have a draw. And Punk is that polarizing draw kind of guy. So people who hate him are going to watch that show. And the folks who still love him are going to watch that show. So I expect it to be a pretty successful launch if that is indeed the route they end up taking.
So, Dr. Trey, let's we'll start with the CM Punk end of things. Yes, not surprised that he's returning to All Elite Wrestling. We'll unpack that a little bit more as the conversation goes on. But being that we won't discuss this spot in the story, again, in regards to unpacking everything with CM Punk. So the Saturday show now. So now you're going to have a two-hour show on Saturday, reportedly. There will be a two-hour show on Wednesdays, a one-hour show on Friday. So 5 hours a week of All Elite Wrestling on Warner Brothers Discovery Television. I believe Dark Elevation is winding down, and I think Dark and the ROH stuff will continue before some of the Dynamites. I think ROH is doing another taping down in Universal soon as well. But this is kind of scary to me, because as a wrestling fan who watches everything WWE and everything All Elite Wrestling, I know that we hate to talk about tribalism in professional wrestling, but I feel like with some of the moves that AEW is doing now, like, you're kind of testing the waters to see, can we keep this fan base that watches both shows going? Because Monday Raw, Tuesday NXT, Wednesday Dynamite, Thursday nothing unless you're a fan of Impact Wrestling and New Japan, Friday SmackDown and Rampage, Saturday Collision, Sunday nothing. I mean, that's a lot of wrestling, and you and I are diehard wrestling fans. I'm a little bit scared about this, because it could be too much and too much oversaturation. And I know that there's issues with the roster that we'll address here a little bit as well with this potential roster split, but I don't know if I totally am down with this move, because it's like, why are we adding another AEW show when you actually have a second brand if you are doing a roster split with Ring of Honor Wrestling?
No, that I agree with. Like, you bought the library. Now, it could be a situation. It's confusing to me because you're still celebrating the Ring of Honor because you still have a Ring of Honor world champion. You still have Ring of Honor television champion, women's champion, tag team champion, six-man tag champions. But yet, this new show is not the Ring of Honor show. In my head, I was trying to figure out if they were trying to do something similar to like what WWE did when they bought out WCW, which is test the waters to see if it's a brand worth trying to save or just incorporate the talent in. It is a little confusing for me on how they want to do this. I think the biggest thing for me is I think they looked at their roster and said, look, we got, you know, actually probably more people on our roster than WWE, and they have 5 hours of primetime television. We only have three. They have 2 hours of developmental TV, and we have the YouTube shows. I think for them, it was kind of like, hey, if we can get money and make money from Turner to put up another show and get more of our guys on TV, it increases their value as well. I honestly, like, since they bought Ring of Honor, have not figured out what they're doing with Ring of Honor. I don't know if anybody actually, like, we're running pay-per-views off a YouTube brand is what we're basically doing right now.
Well, and a paid service.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I mean, they're following the MLW plan for Ring of Honor. I don't really know what they're trying to accomplish with Ring of Honor. I think that's for those guys like us who have been fans for years. Like, it was like, no, it's a good solid brand. You could run with this because it was never oversaturated. Like, you know, it was always kind of like the underground show. So you could do something with this and brand the Saturday show as AEW Ring of Honor and have a Ring of Honor brand and then still have, you know, Dynamite and then Rampage be like the filler brand. I mean, you could have done it that way, but once again, I'm not a billionaire, I guess, and I don't get to make those decisions.
So the roster split. The roster split portion of this story is because some parts of the locker room don't get along with the other parts of the locker room. Let's just say the CM Punk FTR side and the Elite and Chris Jericho side are probably the two separate factions of what we're seeing. And for what it's worth, we obviously are not there. And from everything that we're reading, and there's another addition to this, another chapter to this story that we'll talk about here as well. It seems like most of these parties are trying to work towards the betterment of the promotion, first and foremost. So with that said, I feel like that the way that they currently utilize the roster is not great. Like, there are folks that are favorites of Tony Khan. Like, I love the Orange Cassidy title defenses, but I also watch Dynamite and I love Orange Cassidy matches, but I'm wondering where the hell Miro is. I'm wondering why more wrestlers are not getting TV time. Why did it take this long for Bandino to come on AEW television? Where is Roosh? And I know that ROH is featuring a lot of these folks, but I don't watch ROH. I'm not going to pay $9.99 a month to watch four episodes of ROH television, plus all the old, shows that they used to do. Like, that's just not, I don't have the time for that. So I am skeptical about this roster split, Dr. Trey. I don't think that they're utilizing the roster all that well presently. And I'm concerned because I know that you need to take people off television from time to time to refresh them. But I feel like what goes on in AEW is the wrong type of refresh, quite honestly.
Yeah, and then if you're doing two separate brands, what then are you going to do with the Ring of Honor titles? Like, are you going to then make a third brand out of it, and that's filler somewhere else? I mean, if you have a Dynamite brand and you have a Collision brand and, oh, dear God, Jeff, what if they do multiple, like, they add even more titles? That would sorry, yeah. my brain just exploded on that thought. Like, if we have a Dynamite champion and a Collision champion,
see, I don't think it reaches that level. I don't think that they're going to do Raw and SmackDown stuff. I think that this is still AEW, but it's like, okay, but if there's going to be this weird soft roster split, why not just make AEW Dynamite and ROH Collision on Saturday in two separate brands?
Or at least instead of calling it Collision, just call it AEW Ring of Honor.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
You know, it's just because it, for me, it's just I look at it and like, if you're going to do a brand, if you're going to do a soft brand split, are you going to have your champions travel back and forth, or you have dedicated titles? Now, you could do a TNT title on one show, obviously, and then the, I'm sorry, what do they rebrand the Mid-Atlantic or
the international championship?
International. You could do the international on one show, the TNT on one show. You could do stuff like that, and then have a champion that travels back and forth between the two shows. But once again, it just feels like they're overcomplicating what should be a simple solution. Obviously, if you did a Ring of Honor style show, you could put a Punk on Ring of Honor. He's got history. You could put FTR because of who they are and how they compete on that show. It would make a ton of sense. You could split the roster that way. It would make a lot of sense for folks. But I just, to me, I once again, I feel like they're trying, they're not, they think they have a simple answer, because, but in reality, it's way too complicated for the casual person to even make sense of it at times.
All right, so the next chapter here, CM Punk and Chris Jericho supposedly have met with Tony Khan and FTR, who were also in attendance. Meeting was reported to be, quote, unremarkable and, quote, having gone well. Punk and Jericho may be open to working with one another once Punk returns. There was a ton of heat between the two since Brawl Out 2022, and Punk referring to Jericho as a stooge in a now-deleted Instagram post. Reportedly, Chris Jericho, shortly after the Brawl Out 2022, like, popped his head into Punk's locker room or confronted Punk and said that he was a cancer to the locker room. So ton of heat there. Jericho is someone that does not mince words. You got to have a ton of respect for that. It's also unknown if a similar meeting between Punk and the Elite have taken place, but Punk was reportedly told not to reach out to them in the past. So some bridges are being rebuilt. It seems to be positive, Dr. Trey. It's the right thing to do for the brand, ultimately, right?
And in reality, if they can ever get past this, it's the right thing for the pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the sake of the brand, yes, the absolute thing, because the brawl divided this roster even more, and it created fissures not just in between the Punk side and the Elite side, but then we started hearing about the young guys versus the old guys, and it kind of fractured the entire roster. So if they can start mending this back together, you know, it'll never be 100%. There's going to be scars. And you know, if you ever had a scar, they're pretty easy to open back up, you know, if they hit just the right spot. But, you know, you mentioned a Chris Jericho. We talk about CM Punk. What do we know about these guys? They do business. They understand that, like, sometimes you might hate somebody, but it's still good box office and good business to work together. I mean, like we talked about, like Seth Rollins and Logan Paul, there's a little bit of legitimate beef. Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, a little bit of legitimate beef. Guess what? Those matches were fantastic and people are talking about them. So it is a way to create interest, because that real life blending into the wrestling life creates intrigue among fans, and people are going to talk about it. And you know, if when Collision finally gets announced and it's going to be in Chicago, guess what's going to happen? People are going to tune in, because if Punk's on TV, there's going to be a portion that thinks the Elite's going to show up, whether it's true or not, just to confront them, and we're all going to be dialed in, because the one thing AEW has more than anybody else is legitimate, like, non-scripting of promos, and that's kind of where some of this stuff came from. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when that show finally is announced and finally debuts.
So the last couple chapters here of this story are not shocking, pretty much expected. But this part is something that is completely unexpected, because a report that came out Monday night is reportedly stating that CM Punk reportedly visited this past Monday's Raw in Chicago, where he was in the common area for about 20 minutes, Reportedly, Punk had had conversations with Triple H and The Miz. The convo with The Miz was supposedly them clearing the air after having heat with one another. The overall impression was that people were happy to see Punk, and many greeted him positively. The reports that are kind of conflicting here that WWE security did ask Punk to leave, which he did respectfully, and it's believed that this came from Vince McMahon. PW Insider reported that this visit was to clear the air with people, and Dave Meltzer reported that the folks in AEW feel Punk could be angling for a WWE return. This is the bizarre angle, Dr. Trey, because I don't know what this is about. I guess CM Punk was on a flight back to Chicago with a bunch of WWE stars. Let's presumably assume that this is the from Tampa, Florida, where he was in to talk to Chris Jericho, along with reportedly FTR and Tony Khan to smooth things over. He's on a flight to Chicago with a lot of WWE talents. What happens on this flight, or what happens in CM Punk's mind that thinks that visiting WWE Raw in Chicago and that nobody will know about it, and he's just going to go and mend some fences and clear the air, is like beyond me. He has every right to be there. And I know that Bully Ray and Mark Henry on their Busted Open show on SiriusXM were not trying to make a big deal about it. Mark Henry said that when WWE was in Texas, and I love this story, that I guess Vince called Mark Henry to come to the arena just so he could give him a hug, which, you know, that's what normal men do, right? We all just call each other up, be like, hey, are you in town? Yeah. Can you swing by and hug me? And we're all, yeah, absolutely, dude. Long time no see. But this is the part that is strange. It's like he has so much of these presumed drama going on right now, and he decides to add another layer of drama to it and go to the WWE show and say hi to everybody. Well, he did not leave WWE ceremoniously. He did not go to court with WWE or the WWE's doctors because they just wanted to give each other money and feel better about their relationship and make their friendship stronger. He did not say terrible things in interviews and podcasts and promos about his former employer because he loves them. This is the weird part, Dr. Trey. I can't make sense of this. I guess, as a guessing person here, I would assume that, yeah, he's potentially angling for a WWE return. I don't think he went there to clear the air. They could do that privately. He could call up Triple H. He could go to a mediary. Like, what the fuck is he doing?
You guys forget that. Sometimes people forget that. This guy is, like, you know, we've been CM Punk fans, but Punk is one of the best workers slash politicians. Like, he's people don't put him in the Jericho class, but he's up there. Like, he knows how to play the system and play these games. And whether it's, you know, leaving WWE, going to do the UFC stuff, he was staying in the limelight. And then, you know, just like the Goldberg stuff, like bash wrestling, but still love wrestling. And, you know, it's he understands leveraging. And it's like, look, they're talking about bringing me back in, but if crap goes sideways, what's my backup plan? Would there be interest in me jumping to their company? And if AEW knows that WWE might have interest with me and I'm clearing the air with the people I had the most heat with, would it make sense for AEW to say, hey, we'd rather have him here than WWE using him in a WrestleMania spot? Like, he understands the maneuverings maybe better than just about anybody else when it comes to wrestling and how to play both sides and hate one side when you know you're good here, but then when the other side's like, well, maybe not so good, let me backpedal and play the other way. I mean, Jericho's done it too. I mean, Jericho was the one who went to AEW and kept talking about how much Vince gave him the blessing to go do the New Japan stuff. And when he signed his contract with AEW, oh, Vince called me to try to see if I could back out of the deal. Like, these guys are carnival workers. Like, they're barkers. I mean, this is what they do, is know how to put stuff out there. I mean, the Elite do it. Like, all these guys do it. And it just kind of depends on who we feel is in the right and who we feel is in the wrong when it comes to that stuff. But that's what it is. It's all movements, and it's playing chess and moving the board around to where you make sure you're the most enviable position when it's time to play your turn. And I think that's what Punk was doing this, you know, past weekend more than anything else was, I'm going to deal with AEW. I'll talk to WWE, and we'll just kind of go from there and see who actually really wants me and wants me back. And that, I think he did a great job of it.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if maybe on his end of everything right now is not smooth with AEW, and maybe he is potentially on his way out of All Elite Wrestling. Maybe there's a layer to this story that we don't know about where it just seems like the working relationship is not going to be beneficial to all parties, and he needs to go elsewhere. You know, pure speculation on our part. I just thought for him to be out in the open at WWE Raw visiting was a shock. I mean, there's that video of him talking to Tamina Snuka in the parking lot, and fans are yelling for him. Like, he did not hide. And this is a guy who's had a very checkered and controversial past with WWE. It's been a very rocky relationship between both. So, with all that said, Dr. Trey, I simply ask you this question. Does AEW need CM Punk?
I'll lean yes, because I still don't feel like they have the star power to draw. I mean, even though it's a three-year-old company, there are still wrestling fans who maybe haven't watched it yet, haven't really got invested in it yet. And you got to say, when Punk's there, it feels like the ratings are up, the pay-per-view buys are up. People do seem to be, the casual people seem to be more interested in it. And they just don't have that guy that transcends wrestling over into, not necessarily pop culture, but more like from the diehards to the casuals. They don't have that guy. I mean, Jericho to a degree, but I mean, Punk's fan base is so rabid, they will follow him anywhere. And you need that guy that fans are like, yeah, I don't care where he goes. I don't have loyalty to the brand. I have loyalty to this guy. And they just don't have that guy on their roster right now.
I believe AEW does need CM Punk. There are tons of talented wrestlers, male and female, great acts, highly entertaining stuff that I enjoy on a week-to-week basis. But they are missing that, you know, guy that's has a recognizable name that is part controversial, part relatable, part legendary performer like CM Punk. I mean, he is someone of the last decade that people have been clamoring for to return. And I think more importantly, with them doing All in Wembley Stadium, and whether they fill it up to 40,000, 50,000, 60,000, 70,000, 80,000, or full capacity at 90,000, they need CM Punk on that marquee. And they need CM Punk versus the Elite on that marquee, or they need CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. Drama sells. Controversy creates cash. And this is a big controversial topic, a very controversial person, and they need him back in AEW. But does CM Punk need AEW, Dr. Trey? Does he need AEW to continue his wrestling career? Because from all that we're hearing is he wants to return to wrestling. But does he need to do it in AEW?
I think that's what he was trying to figure out.
I'm
going to say right now, yes, because, I mean, if security's asking you to leave the building because Vince told them to do it, in order to get a payday, yeah, you probably need AEW right now. So, yeah, I think right now you do, but just like we've seen in WWE in years past, whether it's Bret Hart, Ultimate Warrior, Bruno, they can get past some stuff if the money's right and they can capitalize on it. So, yeah, right now Punk needs AEW, but 9 months, a year from now, well, 9 months heading into WrestleMania season, that might change.
So then the last question, do we want CM Punk back in AEW?
Yes, because we love the drama. I know we talk about, like, seriously, guys, like, tone the drama down. But, oh, my gosh, Jeff. Like, if he comes back and, like, oh, you know what we might get? We might get Punk Omega. We might get Punk and Jericho. We might get Punk and FTR against the Elite. I'm going to watch that. I got to see if somebody decides, yeah, screw this work stuff. I'm going shoot style in this match. There's part of me that wants to see, although I know it won't happen because these guys at the end of the day are professionals and it would ruin their reputation if they went into business for themselves. There's that part of me that's like, wants, and rest in peace, there's part of me that wants that Jerry Springer aspect to AEW because it's going to, you know, tingle the fancies a bit, and I got to see what happens.
Yeah, I want to see CM Punk back in AEW because I want to see a feud between CM Punk and Chris Jericho and CM Punk and the Elite. There's a lot of money there. There's a lot of intrigue. There's real heat. There's real drama. And this Brawl Out 2022 still is this legendary folklore tale. We know something happened, but we don't necessarily know what. And maybe AEW has been playing this from a creative standpoint this entire time. I tend to think this is a little bit more legal standpoint. And I think it's time. I think it's time we see CM Punk back in AEW. And I'm excited for it. I think the brand needs him. I think CM Punk needs AEW. And I want to see him back in AEW. So it's been a wild ride, Dr. Trey, recapping everything that's happened here over the last couple of weeks with CM Punk. It's insane. I mean, the WWE layer to this entire thing is just like, what? Like, dude, what are you doing? Because you know that did not make people happy in AEW. Like, what are you trying to... If you're trying to get back in the good graces of All Elite Wrestling, then why are you trying to get back in the good graces of WWE? Did, like, something happen? Did a switch happen? Where did, like, this coming of Jesus conversation with himself? And maybe he's realizing, like, it's not worth it to have all these issues between certain individuals. I mean, that could be. We've all experienced that in our lives where it's like, man, this type of bullshit is just not worth it. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But just a wild, wild couple of weeks here for one CM Punk, which, you know, it's not over yet, Dr. Trey. It's April 27th. We have a lot of time before June 17th, that first Saturday show, reportedly. So there's plenty of time here for things to either firm up or go haywire. So we don't really know what AEW's reaction is fully to him going to WWE Raw to say hi and bury the hatchet with people. So who knows? Who knows right now? Because this is insane. It really is insane. It's the most insane thing that we've experienced since Montreal, right? Survivor Series 97.
Yeah, plane ride. That's what I was just thinking.
Plane ride from hell.
Yeah, because in my head, I'm like, you know, plane ride from hell, we had a dark side of the ring about it, but then still, like, they're still like, yeah, that wasn't the entire truth, and there's still, you know, there's elements in there, whatever. I kind of feel like the Brawl Out thing is this generation's plane ride from hell. And the whole thing with Punk and AEW and WWE kind of feels like the woman who left her husband, but then she's like, maybe we should get back together. But on the other side, there's this other guy that I used to date before you, and that's like my high school crush, and I kind of want to work things out. It's just so weird, like this whole, like, dance. And maybe at the end of the day, Punk just wants to feel wanted by somebody. And he's like the dog that constantly bites you, but then will, like, be really sweet and, like, rub himself against your leg to remind you how cute he can be at times as well.
You gotta love the analogy there. And with that, that's how we'll close this out with CM Punk. Let's switch gears to WWE. The same night that CM Punk visited WWE Raw in Chicago, Triple H did not announce the return of CM Punk. However, he did announce the return of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. A new champion will be crowned at Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. King and Queen of the Rings is on hold for now. I was very excited to see a pay-per-view focusing on the King and Queen of the Ring. When this got changed to Night of Champions, the report was it'll make sense soon, so you'll understand. And this is why it's happening, Dr. Trey, as we will have a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Maybe it's a one-night tournament. Maybe it's just a match. But I don't know. I know people are talking online saying that this feels like the consolidation prize for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship that is being owned by Roman Reigns right now. It does not look like he'll be giving that up anytime soon. What do you think, Dr. Trey? The WWE World Heavyweight Championship is back. Is this the right move to have two world champions on the Raw and then on the SmackDown brand?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going back to absolute brand splits, it's the right thing to do. You know, for the better part of the last 6 months, it's kind of been a soft brand split with guys kind of floating back and forth. And we saw them try to elevate the U.S. and IC titles into filling that void for missing a world championship. And, you know, I think they did a decent job of elevating those belts, but I just don't think it, like, you know, those U.S. title matches were never really main event matches. IC title matches, for as great as they were with Gunther, weren't main event matches because Roman Reigns casts a large shadow over both brands. And until you can start to elevate somebody up to that level, he's going to be that shadow that kind of, you know, causes the flowers not to bloom, because right now nobody views the anybody on his level. So maybe by bringing that title back and making it look different than the one that Roman's been carrying, it's kind of a, you know, rebirth for, you know, whatever brand Roman's not on to start to elevate somebody else. Because you and I have been talking about the better part of a year, Roman's not going to be around forever. You've got to start getting ready for the next guy, and getting another world title gives you that opportunity.
I like the move. I think it's the right move for WWE. I did not like when they merged both championships. However, Dr. Trey, the old school fan in me is sad that we're not seeing the WWE championship return. So I'm assuming that eventually the Undisputed title will be merged off of the Universal Championship, so we'll have the WWE Universal Champion, which is a terrible name for a world title, and the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So the old school fan of me is like, oh man, but we're not going to have the WWE Champion anymore? Like, what the frig are we doing? I love the design of the belt. It's obviously an ode to the big gold belt that was in WCW and NWA for a long time, which Triple H also held when it was on the WWE brand as the World Heavyweight Championship, following the retirement of the WCW Championship. When it comes to who I think should be the first champion, a lot of people are pointing towards Cody Rhodes, but I kind of disagree with that, Dr. Trey. I think it's like a three-headed race. I think it's Cody. I think it's Seth. I think it's Bobby. I hope that Brock Lesnar does not fall into this as well, but being that they're in Saudi Arabia, you got to figure that Brock is going to have a match on the card, and God, I hope he doesn't walk out with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, because then people are really going to lose their mind and think that Vince is back. But I would almost pick, I think I'd pick Bobby Lashley to be the first champion, Dr. Trey.
Yeah, I agree with that if Bobby's a heel. If Bobby's still in babyface mode, like the Almighty, when he was a heel with MVP, was fantastic. One of the better runs we've had in a while for a world heavyweight champion, especially in WWE. Bobby as a babyface is not bad, but the mystique when he was a heel was just so much better. I would go with Bobby as well, because as physically imposing as he is, one of the things we talked about with Cody was Cody needs obstacles to overcome. And there are not very many obstacles bigger than Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and then Bobby Lashley for a babyface to overcome. So I think that would be good positioning if you're building Cody to be that next guy. By the way, do we still have to put the word heavyweight in for a world champion? Because we've had several champions who have been basically cruiserweight level in weight. So I really don't like, just call it the WWE World Champion.
You're seeing that right now in AEW, right? Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure I weigh more than at least three out of the four guys, potentially in that Double or Nothing match.
I think Jade has you beat, though.
Jade Cargill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because she's just muscle. I mean, I would, yeah, we're going to go down a rabbit hole there. And nonetheless, WWE World Heavyweight Championship is back. I like the move. I like the design. The eventual first champion is got to be very interesting on the direction of where they go and where they go from here. It's the right call with the WWE brands, because just Roman as the, you know, undisputed Universal Champion, it wasn't working. Like, they shouldn't have done it in the first place. I get why they did it to add more intrigue to that match, but at some point they should have figured out a way to split this back up. And I guess this is the right way to do it. I think creatively, you're kind of like, what do you do? Like, hey, Roman, you're going to keep the Universal title. Give me that one back, the WWE Championship, and we're going to crown a new champion. I guess you could have done that, but The WWE World Heavyweight Championship is back, and we'll have a new champion by the end of next month with the new world title.
Yeah, real quick, ironically enough, the last time I believe this happened, it actually did involve Triple H, with Brock being the undisputed champion, and then Bischoff recreating a belt.
He just gave it to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing possible.
Well, why doesn't Triple H just come out and just hand the belt to somebody, and then we just go full circle?
So the storyline on that was that Triple H won some sort of match to become the new number one contender to Brock's Undisputed Championship. And then at that same episode, I believe, Brock went to a limo with Stephanie, and Stephanie, who was feuding with Eric Bischoff because they were both the general manager, Stephanie and SmackDown. Eric Bischoff with Raw was like, we have now signed Brock Lesnar exclusively to our brand.
Yes.
So you are without a world champion. And then, like, the next week on Raw, Eric Bischoff just opened up either a briefcase, a duffel bag, whatever, and handed Triple H the big gold belt, which I thought was the lamest way possible to do it.
I think Vince comes out and just hands the belt to Austin Theory.
Hey, we know he's been doing some rewrites, so it's always possible. Actually, he just does some sort of like AI generation, and the United States Championship becomes the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. We come to find out that his match with Cena at WrestleMania 39 was actually for that title, and nobody knew it, not even the competitors. So congratulations, Austin Theory. And then finally, Dr. Trey, the big news here started on Friday night on SmackDown, Monday on Raw, is the 2023 WWE Draft. Who should be moved, which tag teams need to be split up, which NXT call-ups could we expect? It's all things that we're thinking about going into Friday and Monday. Some moves that I'm thinking about here, Dr. Trey, is move Gunther and Imperium to Raw, move Austin Theory to SmackDown, have Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair switch brands. I don't know if you need to do that lame title switch again. I would keep Judgment Day and LWO on Raw, or move LWO to Raw just so that they get some more time. I would split up the Street Profits amicably so that there's not some weird little tension, and split up Chad Gable to SmackDown, Otis to Raw, start pushing Chad Gable and Montez Ford now on SmackDown's mid-card guys vying for the U.S. title. And then for NXT, I would call it Pretty Deadly to Raw, which they were written off of NXT this past Tuesday, so it seems like a foregone conclusion. Finally, make Cameron Grimes appear on television for the first time in months. I would move Zoe Stark to Raw, and I would move Grayson Waller to Raw from NXT. There's reports out there that Bron Breakker and Cora Jade are going to be backstage on SmackDown on Friday. Not known if that will be for main event tapings or if they're going to be drafted, who Cora Jade's name has been reportedly been thrown around as a potential call-up from NXT. Dr. I'm excited for the draft on Friday and Monday. Those are some things that I'm thinking about. What are you thinking about heading into Raw and SmackDown versions of the draft?
I really, like, there are some things I want to see, but, like, in reality, I don't expect all those things to happen. I just want to see some switching up of things. I want to see some freshness to it. You know, you mentioned Braun and Cora. They're actually dating in real life, so the fact that, you know, maybe they get paired up. Maybe they end up on the same brand. You know, they like to keep the married couples together. So wherever Becky goes, Seth goes. Wherever Montez goes, Bianca goes. I think you do have to do, if they switch brands, they do have to do the title switch, because you can't have Rhea on Raw as a SmackDown Women's Champion and Bianca on SmackDown as the Raw Women's Champion. That's just weird. So, like, I think they do have to do the awkward title exchange type thing. We all know Montez needs to be a breakout single star, but, you know, I just don't want Dawkins to be Tuckered, if that makes sense. Like, I mean, Otis and Tucker broke up, and then Tucker turned heel for, like, what, like a month and was gone?
Yeah, and or Jannetty. I think Dawkins is very, very talented, by the way.
Yeah, but I also thought Tucker was pretty, like, Tucker.
Yeah, he was very talented as well. Good talker.
So, yeah, so it was kind of weird that it was just, okay, we like Otis and Tucker's gone, so... I just don't want Dawkins to get Tuckered or Jannettied, because I do think Dawkins is a fantastic talent and can talk and can wrestle. He's kind of like he's like a bigger D'Lo. I don't know if that's a good comparison or not, but he's agile, big, strong, and can talk. And is I think he's the kind of guy that you don't want to necessarily make him a heel, but he could be a good mid-level babyface. I really want to see Otis with Maximum Male Models, and yeah, that means you may have to move Chad away, but Chad's a fantastic wrestler, and you can put him in anything and he's gonna be good. So I'm just really looking forward to seeing how this all plays out. Like, I don't know if I'm a fan of the LWO being baby faces, but I think flipping Judgment Day and Imperium makes sense. So that way the LWO can feud with Imperium and Judgment Day can, you know, battle Bloodline or somebody else on SmackDown and move stuff around. So those make some sense to me. But I'm just excited to see some freshness and changes. I'm really looking forward to seeing Pretty Deadly on either Raw or SmackDown because we've talked about the last two. They're arguably my favorite act in WWE. It's not named Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So whatever they do, I'm always intrigued by. So looking forward to seeing them on the main roster.
So what I've come to learn is that I think SmackDown as a 2-hour show should be utilized as a show where there's folks that are established wrestlers. While Raw has established wrestlers on their brand, I also like when people are able to develop their character a little bit more on Raw than they would be on SmackDown. Like when we saw them not being written out by Vince, Damage Controls of the World, Candice LeRae's, Meechan, like those, the female stars are getting a little bit more time than they would on a Raw. I think talents that could use a little bit more shine, like Gunther and Imperium, could be great on Raw. LWO on Raw. I think the Judgment Day has very much benefited from elevating their game over the last year by being on Raw and having a little bit more time than if they were on SmackDown. Like, you see folks that go to SmackDown, they kind of get lost in the shuffle and aren't utilized as much. So that's how I think about things. It's like, okay, Raw is a brand that has established stars, but also stars that are, you know, getting a little bit more time. SmackDown is the established stars. So maybe Austin Theory to SmackDown works. Maybe Cody to SmackDown works. It's going to be interesting how these two rosters look in a week's time, Dr. Trey, and I'm excited for it. I think this is a really cool and fun time because things that you don't expect typically happen during the draft. So I'm excited to see where things shake up on Friday's SmackDown and then Monday's Raw.
No, absolutely. I mean, like we talked about before, like I've been literally sitting here watching the NFL draft, talking about the WWE draft, and I'm like, yeah, like I've been playing Madden the last 2 months just because of NFL drafting. And I've been playing SmackDown, or I've been playing 2K23 for WWE because of the GM mode and the drafting and things like that and trying different things out. And so it's always that element of the unknown and a little bit of, like we used to do when we were kids, of dream matchups, weird tag teams that you could put together out of nowhere. And the draft in WWE has always been kind of fun. I mean, the original drafts back in the day with like Vince and Flair and all that stuff, those were really fun. The last few years, it's kind of been like, yeah, these guys are going to, like, we kind of knew what was going to happen. But since we haven't had it done in 18 months, almost 2 years, it kind of feels fresh and different. It's like, it's a way to kind of, once again, use Raw to build the new stars because you can flesh out the characters like Jeff was talking about. Use SmackDown to build, you know, main event, top level money drawing guys because they're on Fox. They're exposing more people. If you go into the draft with that mindset, you might come out thinking that, hey, Raw got the worst of the deal. But 9 months from now, because you've been able to flesh out characters, that Raw roster gets really fun really quick. And we saw that with, you know, Kevin and Sammy and everybody in, you know, Judgment Day and Dominic and everybody else, because they had more time to present themselves on Raw than they typically do on SmackDown.
So there you go. WWE draft preview. We'll recap and review it on next week's edition of the podcast heading into the lovely, lovely month of May. Dr. Trey, it's been fun recapping CM Punk, the World Heavyweight Championship, and WWE draft on this week's edition of the pod. Before we close up shop, let's get a couple plugs and sponsors out of the way. You can download the show every Thursday at realguyradio.com, WrestleChatNet on Twitter, and the Still Real to Show iTunes feed. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to help us climb charts on iTunes. You can follow us individually on Twitter for myself at SRTUJeff and for Dr. Trey Franklin at TheDrTrey. And of course, don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at SRTUPodcast. With that being said, what is going on in the wonderful world of Dr. Trey Franklin this week?
Well, like Jeff said, you can follow me on Twitter at the Dr. Trey. Find me on Instagram, Facebook, Dr. Trey Franklin. When you're on Facebook, be sure to check out Rocket City Championship Wrestling, as we are just two shows from WrestlingCon, May 20th, from beautiful Hazel Green, Alabama, headlined by Dalton Castle and the boys being in the building. We've had some matchups announced. Sin Bodhi taking on Barry Koloff for the Rocket City TV Championship. Travis Locke against Chase Owens. Not sure who Dalton Castle is performing against yet, but looking forward to that one as well. And then I have a football question, a football wrestling question for Jeff Peck.
Okay.
Luke Van Ness, any relation to Hot Mess Laurel Van Ness?
No, I don't believe so, but I will have to check that out on Wikipedia.
All right. I didn't know if like we're going to see Luke or Lucas Van Ness and like hanging out with Matt Cardona somewhere.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe GCW. Maybe Disney.
He's a handsome man, Jeff. You've got a very good looking defensive end. I will say that. The dude's got a great haircut and like he looks like one of those next in line prospects we see popping up down the PC.
Hey, that's the criteria. If you look like you're handsome and could potentially be a WWE star, that's what we want you in Green Bay. So lots of good stuff going on in the world of professional wrestling. Month of May is gonna be very, very busy with Double or Nothing. Backlash, which we'll recap, we'll preview and predict on next week's edition of the podcast, along with the draft, Night of Champions, NXT Battleground, lots of things changing here in the world of professional wrestling that will basically shape and mold everything that goes on the next 8 weeks will shape and mold the rest of professional wrestling, in my opinion, for the next year. And we'll have it all here for you each and every week on the Still Real Toast Show. So until next week, thank you for downloading. For Dr. Trey Franklin, I'm Jeff Peck. This is the Still Real Toast Show. Thank you.